Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Today we're going to discuss Fox Corporation's sudden, puzzling, and to me bizarre, almost $800 million settlement of its defamation suit brought by voting equipment and election services company Dominion over Dominion's claims that Fox was guilty of actual malice and making provably false statements that Dominion regarding its election management services in the U.S. 2020 election. On April 19th, Britain's Daily Mail carried the following headlines over its article on the settlement. Dominion CEO says $787.5 million Fox News settlement, which spared Murdoch and Tucker Carlson from taking the stand, is a big step forward in democracy. Lawsuits continue against Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Mike Lindell, and Newsmax. And then there's a sub-headline, which states, CEO John Paulus said it was important for the political system to send a signal that if media companies lie, ellipsis, meaning there was other things he said in there, they will be prepared to pay a very, very high price, close quote. And continuing on, it says, Fox settled at the 11th hour Tuesday after Dominion alleged the network knowingly aired false claims that its machines helped rig the 2020 election. The agreement means owner Rupert Murdoch and primetime stars like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity avoided testifying in open court. And that's the end of the subtitles. Despite all the bombast and gloating about the settlement in the left-wing media, there remain many questions about why Fox suddenly threw in the towel and agreed to this enormous cash payout to Dominion, although it was less than half of what Dominion asked for. It was like $1.6 billion or something. I guess you can ask whatever you want in these for damages, but they would have had to prove damages. And as you'll hear from some of the commentators who are going to play, it's kind of up in the air about how that would have happened. But anyway, the Dominion, a private company, has a reported market capitalization that I've seen of somewhere between 50 and 70 million. Though its parent corporation is worth much more. But while the settlement has triggered a great deal of speculation about just what led to it and what it bodes for the free speech in this country, for free speech, the fact is we just don't know much about what went on behind the scenes leading up to the settlement. Let's start by listening to Emerald Robinson's commentary about the settlement, and her boss, Mike Lindell, is being sued as well for an enormous sum like that. But this is on her Absolute Truth, The Absolute Truth program with Emerald Robinson, April 19, on frankspeech.com. In this commentary, Robinson interviews Kurt Olson, which is an attorney for Mike Lindell, who's also being sued, as I said, by Dominion, and other election services and hardware and software provider, Smartmatic. Play soundbite one, please.
The Fox News settlement is being used by the corrupt corporate media to push the big lie that electronic voting machines are safe and secure. Now, we all know that's totally false, of course. A point Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch also made on Twitter yesterday, saying that the shakedown settlement of Fox News doesn't change anything. The 2020 election was rigged six ways to Sunday. And with that, let's welcome in attorney Kurt Olson, who is representing Mike Lindell in the ongoing defamation suit brought by Dominion against him. Kurt, a lot of people, you know, we're hearing the corporate media say, oh, this means there's no problem with Dominion. There's no problem with voting machines. This was a total fabrication. But that's not how courts actually work and when you come to settlements. So please enlighten us as to what this settlement does or does not actually mean.
Well, what this settlement means is that Dominion has been successful, and I think complicit with Fox, in trying to suppress any discussion about how these machines can be used to steal elections. And there is substantial evidence that they are being. And so this is about shutting down the discussion. And there's two points that I think needs to be raised to put this in context. Recall that in the 2020 election, the Fox News decision desk withheld calling Florida when it was clear President Trump had won, but called Arizona early when not all the votes were counted. And in fact, it took them 9 days to count the last 2% of the votes after the election. And Fox has been complicit in refusing to do any investigation or any reporting into substantial evidence, not just of election fraud, but of how these machines have been used to manipulate election results. They've gone completely silent about it. And what is significant is that Fox News is a news organization, obviously, as the name would imply. They're not a private person. And as a news organization, they are one of the guardians of speech, of freedom in this country. You know, the First Amendment and the ability for news organizations to report the news is something that has been considered sacrosanct under our law. And the seminal case for defamation, which is New York Times v. Sullivan, that was a decision by the Supreme Court rendered 9-0 in 1964. Now, the New York Times is obviously a news organization. And that case was about in 1960, the New York Times published an ad that had been put out by supporters of Martin Luther King. And in Alabama, the police commissioner alleged that there were some false statements in there and took them to court. And the New York Times lost in an Alabama court. They also lost at the Alabama Supreme Court. But the New York Times kept fighting because they were fighting for the First Amendment. Unlike Fox, they took the case to the Supreme Court. And in that decision, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that in order to show defamation against a public official or a public actor, of which Dominion is a public actor, a public entity, in that they're performing a public function of elections. And they're not only providing equipment, but they're providing personnel to run elections. The New York Times fought that and won to defend the First Amendment. Of course, this is back in the 1960s when the New York Times, I think, had greater credibility. But what the Supreme Court ruled there is that to show defamation, you had to prove as a plaintiff that the defendant had actual malice, that they knew the statements were false or recklessly disregarded clear evidence they were false. And so here you have in the 1960s, the New York Times defending the First Amendment. Contrast that with Fox News, which did not defend the First Amendment. And that tells you that this is about controlling a narrative and to suppress any discussion about how voting machines can and are being used to rig elections.
Note Olson's last statements there that this settlement is about controlling a narrative and suppressing any discussion about how voting machines can and are being used to rig elections. I have to agree. This is about shutting down. They don't want you talking about this stuff. And the courts have upheld it by and large. Now, the judge in this case was in Delaware, which you'll hear constitutional law scholar and authority Alan Dershowitz state shortly that he believes Delaware is the most corrupt state he's ever practiced in. And the judge made a number of decisions right out at the beginning here, which before the trial even started, that were in Dominion's favor, which Dershowitz questions and believes should not have been done. It's up to a jury to make those decisions. But in any event, we see what's moving here. And I think Fox was complicit, as Olson says, in moving away from defending this First Amendment. Fox News, once a very powerful and popular voice on the political right, is essentially now dead in this role, although they still have many good commentators and show hosts, which I still look at and quote from and things, but they seem to be moving in the direction of getting rid of a lot of these people. And as you'll know, as you hear shortly, right after the settlement, Fox fired its longtime talk show and very popular talk show host Tucker Carlson of the Tucker Carlson Tonight Show. As I see it, I said Fox, for whatever its reasons, agreed to turn on its audience and essentially renounce the views of Carlson and many of its other hosts who have been or will be fired, I suspect, as well, in order to turn Fox into yet another mouthpiece of the political left in this country and to stifle and end further debate on election integrity. Here are additional comments on the settlement by Mike Lindell on his The Lindell Report on frankspeech.com, also on April 19. Please play soundbite 2.
My prayer is that now that Fox settled, start giving us the news again that matters. Tell us about the Osage County going to paper ballots, hand count in their election. That was last week or a week and a half ago, everybody. Tell about Shasta County out in California that went to paper ballots. Tell about over 100 counties now in the United States that have committed to go to paper ballots, hand count, so we have transparent elections. You think they're going to, you think, let's see, let's, I think, Logan, I think we're going to reach out to Fox and see what they say about that. Is Fox going to finally answer our call and tell us what they have to say about this? Logan, let's ring up Fox here and see what they have to say. If they're going to start reporting the news now that they've settled, so there's no more lawfare, what do they have to say? There it is, folks. Same old Fox. You know, so Brandon, I don't know, what did you think when they settled today?
Well, I wasn't shocked because I had a credible source that I won't name that told me on Saturday that they were going to settle for $600 million, and then that they were going to sell Fox News.
Right.
I couldn't find it anywhere in the press. Well, okay. I looked around. I couldn't find it.
The first part came. Yeah, obviously they went back to the drawing board. They delayed it a day and raised another $180 million. I mean, it's bizarre.
I was told $600 million is what they were going to settle for, and then they would be selling the company. So it ends up being, I think, $787 million. But I guess we'll watch and see if my source is right, and we end up finding out in the next few days that Fox is being sold.
Right. We'll wait and see what happens on that report. Yeah, I got the same message on that a couple days ago. But everybody out there, everyone's going, well, what is – Mike, what do you have to say about this? You guys, what do I have to say? Here's how I answered Swin. Swin sent me a here we go. Swin, I hadn't heard from Swin in a while. You guys, he's not from Daily Beast anymore. He's from the Rolling Stone magazine at Rolling Stone. He wants to make sure I tell everybody that. He said, Mike, Fox News settled. Dominion suit against you still ongoing. Can you comment, assuming you aren't settling? Or, and I'm going, okay, Swin, really? You think I'm going to ever settle? If they could give me $10 billion, they could give me the world. I wouldn't care. You know what? This isn't about money. This is about saving our country. And anyway, I put to Swin, Swin, this solidifies that we will be getting rid of the computers and machines in our elections. And then he put back, what stage is the lawsuit against you at? You know what? It doesn't matter. Here's what you should be worried about, Swin, and all you other journalists that have been texting me. I have it goes all the way down. Here's Colorado Times. I answered him. This solidifies that I will not have any liability. We're going to be getting rid of these machines. And he doesn't get it, right? So it's kind of like, yeah, here's the deal. Anything, if they made a deal over there, but the whole country, you heard it, 70% of Democrats, 80% of Republicans believe that we don't have secure elections. Well, what does that tell you, Brandon? And we're doing a whole thing on artificial intelligence that's out there. Everybody wants these machines gone.
This solidifies that we're going to be getting rid of the machines, Lindell says. Well, 100 counties switching to paper ballots only, I would say, is a good start in his quest for switching over from using electronic voting equipment. But we have more than 3,000 counties in the U.S. There's obviously a long way to go with the switch, don't you think? Nevertheless, I have nothing but the deepest respect and admiration for Mike Lindell, who's pledged his personal fortune to enhancing election integrity in this country. And this despite the many setbacks he's encountered in this monumental battle to reverse our, I believe, and many millions of other Americans, rigged and stolen elections. Now, I'm not saying that Dominion was the key player here. I believe it was argued that Fox News said Dominion was complicit in this, in the rigging of the election. I don't even know if I heard that. I mean, but the machines, this U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, just came out with a study showing that there are nine major security vulnerabilities in all electronic voting equipment. One of the other defendants in one of the many lawsuits Dominion has is Patrick Byrne, who has said he studied this report from CISA, and they're actually, these security vulnerabilities are actually flaws, he said, which, for which there are no known fixes. But of course, they want to shut down all talk about this and keep using the machines. Well, that benefits who? Certainly the political left. They're the ones that benefit more than anything else. But I don't know. You know, we need to get some what's wrong? If everything's so free and fair, why can't we look at these machines? But we haven't been able to. And yes, this is my opinion, just as it is for millions of other Americans. There is, as I've said, a virtual mountain of evidence to support this contention, if only the courts were willing to look at it. But it's so difficult getting judges to look at this. I don't know why. I'm very concerned about this. And this is a big problem here. You know, if the Supreme Court turns its back on one of these lawsuits, it's appealed to them, because it does appear that they're all going to be, they're going to be getting the, it's going to be going against them, at least at this point. What are we going to do? Now let's listen to commentary on the Fox Dominion settlement by one of the great legal minds of our time, constitutional scholar and Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz. His comments were made on his The Dershow podcast on Rumble.com. Please play soundbite 3.
Welcome back to The Dershow. Big breaking news just a few minutes ago. Fox settled its suit by Dominion for $750 million. I have to tell you, I've been doing this 60 years. I do not understand that settlement. I guess the best explanation for it comes from Abbie Hoffman. Remember Abbie Hoffman in the Chicago 7? He once famously said, in the halls of justice, the only justice takes place in the halls, which means settlements and negotiations and plea bargains. Well, this settlement is very, very difficult to understand. It was agreed to for half what they were sued for. They were sued for $1.6 billion, and they settled for about $750 million. As far as I know, Dominion suffered no damages. I don't think they could have proved $10 worth of damages. At a trial, they came out smelling like a rose. The only damages that were suffered extensively by Fox as a result of disclosure of emails by some of its leading employees. But I don't understand how Dominion suffered at all. The judge made a finding, improper in my view, but he made a finding that Dominion did nothing wrong, essentially, and that the fault was all completely on Fox's. That's not the kind of issue that a judge should be allowed to settle under the Seventh Amendment. The Seventh Amendment of the Constitution basically says all issues that were tried at common law by a jury must be allowed to be tried by a common law as well, and no judge can overrule issues that were properly decided by a jury. And it was really up to the jury to decide whether or not the Dominion machines were hackable or were hacked, or whether the election was fair. Look, I believe the election was fair. Donald Trump does not believe the election was fair. Millions of Americans believe the election was fair. Millions of Americans believe the election wasn't fair. Who gives the judge the power to make a decision about a fact like that, especially since he didn't hear any expert testimony about the machines and about the accuracy of the machines? But let's remember, this is Delaware. I've argued cases, I think it's now 32 states out of the 50, 32, maybe 34, something like that. I've never argued in a more corrupt state than Delaware. In Delaware, the judges basically pick each other. They come from a small number of elite law firms, and then they go back to those law firms, and they favor the lawyers from those law firms. The favorite word in Delaware, everybody knows it. It's no secret, is home cooking or home court advantage. if you're a Delaware lawyer, you get a home court advantage. I argued a case there, and the Chief Justice just cut me off, wouldn't even let me essentially argue my case, but we wouldn't settle. My client was tough, really, really tough, and he lost every battle, but he didn't settle, and he won the war and turned his small company into a very, very large and very successful company. And so, you know, settlement is not something that is in my blood. I'm a fighter, not a settler. But I know how to settle a case, and I've settled cases. And this case was eminently settleable, but not for three-quarters of a billion dollars. It's something we don't know. There's more information that would have come out. Because right now, I don't see what Fox gains from a settlement. All the bad stuff has come out. Then they have to pay money. They would have won this case on appeal. I would have taken this case. I've never done a contingency fee case in my life. I would have taken this case to the Supreme Court of the United States on a contingency fee. That's how sure I am that the Supreme Court would not have allowed Dominion to collect three-quarters of a billion or $1.5 billion.
You should know that, excuse me, Dershowitz is advising Mike Lindell in his legal battle with Dominion. You may have heard Dershowitz, a lifelong liberal Democrat who, amazingly, has said he voted for Joe Biden and believes the 2020 election was fair. But in a trait that exemplifies, excuse me, greatness in a lawyer, Dershowitz, cognizant of the constitutional issues at stake here, has agreed to help in the representation of election fraud believer Mike Lindell, because Dershowitz still believes in the Constitution and the First Amendment. The big takeaway of Dershowitz's comments here is, for me, is that Dershowitz still believes in our judiciary, though he notes that the Fox Dominion case was being heard by a corrupt judge in Delaware. It's my understanding that many corporations choose to incorporate in Delaware due to its favorable corporation laws. And Dershowitz relates that Delaware, Joe Biden's home state, as you heard him say, is the most corrupt jurisdiction Dershowitz has ever practiced in. Now let's hear additional comments on the settlement from Dershowitz later in this, in his same podcast on April 18th. Play soundbite 4, please.
I have to tell you, we don't know everything. And that's why I can't criticize the lawyers who recommended the settlement of the case. I don't know if the lawyers recommended the settlement. I suspect they did. But certainly Murdoch had a major input in the decision to settle. I know some of the lawyers in the case, and they're good lawyers. But they had to know, because every lawyer has to know, that there is a very significant chance that any verdict against Fox would have been reversed on appeal, either on appeal to the Court of Appeals or on appeal to the Supreme Court. Every good lawyer had to know that. And yet they settled this case. And usually a settlement reflects the likelihood of success, the likelihood of success on appeal. This didn't do that. There's something else going on here. Again, I've been doing this now a lot of years, and I've seen a lot of settlements, and I've rejected a lot of settlements, and I've accepted some settlements. Something is not what it appears to be here. I will tell you categorically that it was a greater likelihood of Fox winning on appeal than losing on appeal, whether it's 55-45 or 60-40. I don't know. But I do think that, considering all the appellate issues, the way in which the judge took away many of Fox's defenses and made determinations of fact, it's a determination of fact that the election was fair and that Fox lied about it. Those are not things that judges should be decided on summary judgment motions. They can decide on summary judgment motion that Mr. A or Miss A on Fox said this, and then they put on the air something else. Okay, that's a pure statement of fact that maybe a judge can take into consideration on a motion for summary judgment. But ultimate issues, certainly the issue of malice, recklessness, knowledge of the falsity, these are issues that a jury could decide either way. And an appellate court might very well decide. Remember, there are two justices already who have said, others haven't declared, but at least two justices have said that they would like to reconsider the malice requirement when a public figure sues. In this case, of course, we have two public figures. We have Fox as a public figure, and Dominion is a public figure. And the question is, should there be a requirement of malice? And if so, what is the instruction that is a proper instruction on malice? That would have been an issue in this case. And instructions are frequently a basis for reversal of conviction. I would say of the many, many cases I've had where judgments of lower courts have been reversed, and I've been fortunate to have many of those. I've argued successfully, lots and lots of appeals. A lot of them have been based on instructions. A lot of them have been based on the failure of the judge to allow the defense to put on a full and complete defense. And I think here the judge did fail to allow Fox to put on a full and complete defense. And I don't know what his instruction would have been, but I have to tell you, I doubt it would have been an instruction that could necessarily withstand appeal. So this is the end of the case. It's over, but it's, I think, the beginning of an inquiry as to why this case ended so abruptly and so one-sidedly. This was a fundamental loss for Fox and a windfall victory for a Dominion, which, you know, is not this mega, mega company. By the way, it's not, you know, it's owned by a hedge fund. It's owned by a New York equity company, which bought, 75% of it. I don't remember the exact figures. But, you know, these are not the most sympathetic characters in the world who have gotten this windfall of $750 million. And they suffered no damage. I challenge anybody from Dominion to tell me what damage they suffered. Have they had fewer states hire them to count? I don't know that. Maybe they have, but I don't know that. And if so, is it as a result of Fox? I doubt that very much. So this is an enigma wrapped in a mystery. And I am not, I'm here to tell you that something doesn't smell right. I'm here to tell you that what you've seen and heard and what was stated at the press conferences are the tip of a very deep iceberg. I hope we will learn what's beneath the sea and what is hidden from the public view, because remember, Fox is not just a company. It doesn't sell widgets. It sells First Amendment protected news and opinion. And so we, the public, we have a right to know. We probably even had a right to have some input into this decision. This is not a purely business and commercial decision, because networks will be chilled. They will not allow opinions to be expressed on the air, even if they disagree with the opinions, and even if many people share those opinions. And it's a very bad day today for the First Amendment.
It's obvious here that a legal mind as brilliant as Dershowitz still believes in our judiciary, which is somewhat comforting, though I have to think he's beginning to have his doubts. For those of us who believe our elections have largely been rigged and stolen, it's been a bitter pill to swallow to have to witness the country's judiciary run up to our Supreme Court. That's the majority Supreme Court, excluding Justices Alito and Thomas, substantially refused to even consider the massive evidence of fraud in the 2020 and later elections. These judges and justices, in my opinion, have, for whatever their reasons, turned their backs on their oath of office, the Constitution, and our country as a whole. There's something that's just not right here, but whether we'll ever find out the real reason for this remains a mystery at this time. As you probably are aware, right after the Fox Dominion settlement was announced, Fox executives fired the network's firebrand conservative commentator Tucker Carlson, although I understand they still have his contract, which is good through the end of 2024. There's also been speculation they want to shut him up and therefore may not release him from his contract, but we'll have to wait to see what happens. This also has triggered widespread speculation about why Tucker Carlson's Tonight Show was killed when it provided Fox with high viewer ratings and audience share in its primetime lineup. But again, for me, this is yet another sign that the Fox News, as its viewers have known it, is dying or is essentially dead at this time. And it's being destroyed in some kind of secret agreement, I strongly suspect, with the swamp, the uniparty, the deep state establishment, and its CCP-serving oligarchs aligned with it in return for their sweetheart deals with the rigged Chinese economy and its staggering corruption and environmental devastation. I guess that's a mouthful, isn't it? This is being done to further shut down any real dissent about our elections and the takeover of the government by these people and the CCP, at least it's influenced by the CCP. This is not a complete takeover, at least not yet, but it's a substantial one. I say this despite the fact that there are many good people still working in our government and military trying to protect and properly serve the USA. As I see it, the swamp is understandably concerned about the truth coming out and more of the public waking up to the reality of the swamp takeover. I think among the things most worrisome to the establishment was Tucker Carlson getting too close to revealing the truth about the setup of the January 6, 2021 so-called insurrection at the Capitol by Trump supporters. There is substantial evidence that the demonstration turned mini riot at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. that day was possibly orchestrated by undercover law enforcement agents, of which I think it's been admitted there are a number of them present, as well as people from Antifa communist organizations, including Black Lives Matter, masquerading as Trump supporters. Sadly and horrifically, many of the true Trump supporters who were lured into this trap have been paying a terrible price legally for it, with prolonged legal persecution and incarceration. Not to mention its tremendous propaganda value for the establishment. This is something Trump supporters must all be aware of at any future public demonstrations in support of Trump. Pay attention, people. The political left and establishment's operatives want to trick and lead you into actually acting badly and violently in order to use you as pawns in their propaganda campaign to besmirch and portray all Trump supporters as evil, violent criminals. Here's some observations about Tucker Carlson's dismissal by Alex Jones on his radio and television show April 24. Please play soundbite 5.
They're doing a purge at Fox, a purge at CNN, not a purge MSNBC, of what they call extreme left and extreme right, to make us all a friendly, nice nation where you're not allowed to question election fraud, we're not allowed to question open borders, but you also can't be mean and say bad things about conservatives. You see AOC saying we got to lower the temperature and call for there not to be violence like Tucker Carlson's doing. Well, no, Tucker called for peace, but they're framing us with violence. So you can try to shut Tucker down. You can try to shut Joe Rogan down, but you're not going to shut us all down. Tucker Carlson fired at Fox as Rupert Murdoch makes changes. Isn't that interesting? Project Veritas had a coup against James O'Keefe. The system's battling with everything they've got to try to take us off air right now. And AOC went on Jen Psaki's show Friday. All the political operatives are together and read the talking point. We need the federal government to ban conservatives off of television. A return to the fairness doctrine that got overturned by Reagan in 1986. And I said, that puppet doesn't say anything. That parrot doesn't squawk unless it's told to. And I said, you watch. This is the new talking point. The next morning, Tucker Carlson is bye-bye at Fox. Roll the clip.
And do you think media organizations or social media platforms should be accountable for the role, for being platforms for incitement?
I believe that when it comes to broadcast television, like Fox News, these are subject to federal law, federal regulation in terms of what's allowed on air and what isn't. And when you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence. very clearly incitement of violence. And that is the line that I think we have to be willing to contend with.
And last night, 60 Minutes, Ray Epps, an innocent little cupcake angel, and the evil Tucker Carlson saying he should be investigated for calling for going into the Capitol, ramming signs into people, telling the congressional puppet committee that he did send text messages that day to family saying, I, quote, orchestrated it. So you say go into the Capitol, you would help ram signs into people, you say you orchestrated it, and you don't get arrested or anything. No, the New York Times says you're this wonderful, innocent person, and he needs to file lawsuits against everyone saying he's a Fed. And then they never show any of the clips on national news. They just say, the crazy Tucker Carlson and others talk about Ray Epps. Aren't they the worst people on earth? Like the Seth Rich thing. Oh, you talk about him being murdered. We'll sue you. Why, the DNC is not involved in anything. We're sweet little angels. They're losing, so they've taken the gloves completely off. And you just heard AOC say it's time to have the federal government ban Tucker Carlson. I knew when I saw James O'Keefe air that Pfizer expose with the global head of their mRNA program saying, we roll out the new variants, we create the new strains, so we have an endless job, a cash cow. I came in on air and I said, they're going to kill James O'Keefe or indict him or shut him down. And 2 weeks later, he was gone. Now he's still battling back and fighting. And when I saw a week and a half ago the two-part series with Elon Musk, I said, let me tell you something. You can say Elon Musk has been bad in the past. I'm not saying he's our savior. I'm saying you don't get up there and say AI is taking over and the globalists want to get rid of humans. We need to have more children. And the Democratic Party has weaponized and controls the AI system that Musk and others designed. That they're taking over and that they're a tyranny and that the government illegally was spying on people and their private DMs at Twitter. You don't say that and be an operative of the globalist. You say that if they brainwash one of his daughters to become a boy and if two of his family members almost died from the shot and you decide to go against the globalist. Now maybe he thinks he'll beat them. He'll become not the king of Mars, but the king of Earth. I don't know. But I know when you see something at that level, they come after you because I've experienced it. In 2015, we had 10 million viewers a day conservatively and listeners. By 2016, some days we had 30, 40 million viewers. Every day we had 25 million, bigger than Rush Limbaugh. And I experienced the CIA, it's all come out in Congress, literally run all these programs against me. So when I tell you, hey, Tucker's for real, he's for real.
I'm afraid I don't believe the establishment and their communist allies are losing. Quite the contrary, they're winning and winning big. They've rigged and stolen our recent elections, and there's nothing substantially being done to correct this that I can see. They're getting better and better at pulling off these rigged elections, aided and abetted by members of our government, particularly our intelligence agencies, it's strongly suspected, and other segments of the executive branch and our judiciary. Remember that a classic tactic of communists and the political left in general, is to accuse you of what they are doing. So when the left engages in obvious incitement of violence, it's just normal. It's free speech, fairness, and justice. But when conservatives question or criticize the left, it's incitement to violence and treason. Do you recall the play a couple of years ago that portrayed the assassination of Julius Caesar with Caesar looking exactly like Donald Trump? And in that play, Trump was being stabbed repeatedly by others dressed in modern clothing. And wasn't it a CNN commentator who called the play brilliant? Then there was the CNN reporter, I believe, who was standing in front of the building set ablaze by rioting leftists and called their demonstration mostly peaceful. And you may recall Nancy Pelosi stating she couldn't believe that more people were not out demonstrating in the streets against Trump's election in 2016. Then you had the illustrious actor, left-wing activist Robert De Niro stating he wanted to punch Donald Trump in the face. De Niro then goes to the White House and Obama awards him with the Medal of Freedom. Now, that certainly isn't incitement of violence, is it? Examples of the left's hypocrisy regarding the incitement of violence argument are endless. Retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McKinnerty, who apparently has connections, who claims to have connections in the intelligence community, but can't say, says he can't talk about a lot of it, has been talking on alternative media platforms with claims that communist Chinese operatives have been using a powerful CIA-developed supercomputer and elections interference program with it to switch massive amounts of votes cast for Donald Trump to Biden and from Trump-endorsed candidates to CCP-favored ones, particularly in the U.S. Senate elections in the midterms last year. This, along with massive mail-in ballot fraud, McKinnerty and others contend, has resulted in the big election wins for Joe Biden, other Democrats, and corrupt Republicans in recent elections. But alarmingly, as I said, nothing substantial that I could see is being done to investigate and verify these claims and thus protect our election integrity. President Donald Trump recently held another one of his popular rallies, this time in New Hampshire, wherein Trump called for a return to strict voter ID, paper ballots only, and same-day voting with to remedy our rigged and stolen elections. Good luck, Mr. President. Are you seeing these reforms being implemented on any significant basis? No. Instead, we have the Republican National Committee's Rona, Romney, Rhino, Biden 1, McDaniel, leading the Republican Party to oblivion. She, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Rona McDaniel is Mitt Romney, the infamous Rhino, Mitt Romney's niece. And if, at least that's my opinion, that she's leading the Republicans to oblivion because she's not doing very much. She's been, they reelected her as head of the Republican National Committee, even though she oversaw all these disasters the last few elections. There is, well, in if you want to look at a good example of this most recently, it was the Supreme Court election in the state of, that is the state Supreme Court of Wisconsin. There, a woman described as by commentator John Fredericks as a communist won a 10-year term on the state's high court, campaigning to do away with voter ID, encourage more abortion, and similar left-wing dogma. At least that's what I had read. Where was Ronald McDaniel, the clear choice of a majority of the country's local Republican committee members? And where were the other prominent members of the Republican Party to promote the conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate? After this debacle, McDaniel reportedly bleated that Republican messaging was wrong. Really? What an insightful observation. As Fredericks has observed, we have no infrastructure. There's no plan to fight these people. And whereas she was out, the winning Supreme Court left-wing candidate in Wisconsin way outspent the conservative candidate, but there was really no support whatsoever for him by the Republican establishment. With leaders like this, don't you feel confident that our next big election in 2024 is going to beat those terrible Democrats? Oh, yeah. You just wait. Again, we're going to win big in 2024, just like we expected to do in the last two big elections. Trump talks confidently about what he'll do when he takes office after winning the presidency back in 2024. Again, I say good luck, Mr. President. It's painfully obvious to me that many illustrious members of the Republican Party's leadership still hate Donald Trump for standing up to the Chinese Communist Party and all its money being showered on its many dupes here in the USA. These people are still willing to continue colluding with the corrupt establishment and their allies among the communist left to destroy Trump and continue weakening America so that it eventually will be handed over to the CCP as a vassal and slave state in some kind of totalitarian world government. Our establishment fools continue to somehow believe that they will remain rich and powerful in this new world order monstrosity. What incredible stupidity. All you have to do is look at the history of communism everywhere it's taken over countries to see that mass murder, slavery, and terror inevitably result, including for many of those in the government and societal leadership positions, as the totalitarians inevitably turn on each other. And now we have Communist China and the deep state's chosen candidate, our president, Joe Biden, confidently running for re-election in 2024. If the establishment does in fact allow Biden to stay in the race, he's already won, since they still control our elections. Biden launched his all but assured re-election campaign with an ad where he starts off talking about freedom and how the election will be about greater or lesser freedoms for Americans. You have to remember that when communists and communist supporters like Biden say things, they actually mean, they often mean the exact opposite. Hence, when Biden talks about the work of his first term being about preserving and enhancing freedom for Americans, what he means is the work of his first term has been about less freedoms and actually enslaving us. At least that's how I see it. So when the CCP's preferred candidate, Joe Biden, speaks about preserving and enhancing freedoms for Americans being the work of his first term and how he wants to finish the job with his second term, look out. As British conservative leader Nigel Farage observed, this means Biden just might finish off America with a second term of office, if it isn't already finished off by the time he finishes his first term. As I said, if the swamp sticks with him, at this point, Biden's already won re-election in 2024. Well, that's a wrap for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. Look for us again with another live broadcast 2 weeks from today in the same time slot. And have a great rest of your day and evening.